So Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians, which is a fairly new community. He had been in it with them in its founding for about a year and a half. And in Corinth, this was a community of great prosperity. It was filled with people who were strangers, aliens in a strange land. So predominantly a Gentile community, but from different dialects, different nations. So the church at Corinth was this very diverse body of Christ. But it also had this mixture of rich and poor that sometimes created an imbalance in that body of Christ. So Paul is using this analogy of the human body to help this community come to an understanding how the body of Christ is to work. And I thought about our striving for the perfect body. You know, we have commercials about hair products, skin products. And if you watch TV early in the mornings, you even learn about liposuction for stubborn fat cells. You know, we continually have this image of what is a perfect body. A long time ago, when Barbie was first developed, that created a different image for a perfect female body. And Ken's body was again another one of those bodies that they said this is the shape a male body should be. And so we think if we adorn our bodies one way or another, if we do this with our hair, and you know, I'm not going to talk about hair. Anyway, if we do this or that to our body, maybe this imperfect body that we have will become perfect to the world. And we realize as we spent all that money, that didn't work. We are still who we are. Beautiful, fearfully, and wonderfully made as imperfect creatures. And when we think about that, and we think about the pieces of our body that we definitely need, did you know how much you need your little toe for balance? If you don't have your little toe, balancing on your foot becomes a very scary thing. A little toe. It's a necessary part of our body. And then if we think about the wonder of this created body that God gave us, how it works, how the thyroid regulates things, how the blood moves, how important oxygen and fluid and water is, and how it all somehow works together so that we can be in community with one another, that, you know, the flesh that we have, how it got formed and why we have nails. And it's God created us in such an intricate way that we can't even begin to understand this organism that is the human body. We try to. Scientists think they got it. They think they got the whole genome set up. But I wanted us to think about this organic body of ours and how it can never really be as perfect as some of us would like our bodies to be. And think about what Paul is talking about in terms of the church. The church is not a physical structure. The church is not one person. The church is an organic, imperfect body. Perfectly imperfect because it is the body of Christ. Which means that as we gather together, as we get formed into this body of Christ, what comes into our community, each of us have different gifts. And what Paul is trying to tell the people of Corinth and tell us is there's no gift that is prized higher than another gift. Yes, we need preachers. Yes, we need apostles. Yes, we need prophets. Yes, we need leaders. Yes, we need these teachers to help us be a better body, but they don't make up the body of Christ. We all do. Every body that comes in is part of the body of Christ. And when we can understand that, when we can accept the uniqueness of the individual who is part of the body and see that the wonder of who we are as this person, presence of God in the community, that it is made manifest in how we have unity in our body. It is made manifest by how we express God's desire for a release of the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. The reason why we began worship this morning with the Luke passage is to remember who we are as the body of Christ, that when he said that scripture has been fulfilled in this setting, it means that we, the body, fulfill that mission of God in the absence of Christ our Lord, because he is the head of the body and we are the parts that proclaim the message until he comes again. But we would be amiss if we didn't include the broken people in our body. Because if we're honest, there isn't a one of us in our body of Christ that isn't broken in one way or another, or in that process of being healed from brokenness. Henry Nouwen once wrote something called The Wounded Healer, and the talk about the fact that those of us who are doing the work of healing are also broken ourselves. This past Monday, we had a holiday. It was Martin Luther King's holiday. And many of you know that I follow Richard Rohr, who is a Franciscan monk, and he sends a daily meditation. And it's been interesting about imperfection and body of Christ that has been flowing through his meditations. But on Monday, he quoted this passage from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He said, it really boils down to this, that all life is interrelated. We are all caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. We are made to live together because of the interrelated structure of reality. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. You would think that Dr. Martin Luther King was reading out of 1 Corinthians when he offered those words. We are the body of Christ. We will always be a perfectly imperfect body, because we are a body made up of humanity. But we are better and more beautiful when we allow the various and unique gifts of our community to gather into this body. So this week, when maybe you doubt whether you have a place in the church, whether you doubt you are good enough for any particular body of Christ, when you doubt that you don't have what it takes to be a good church member, or you doubt that people won't see you, they'll see you as unworthy because of the sins that you have done. Remember, Moses was a murderer. Please remember these words in Corinth. Please remember Christ's words, that he came so that the world might be saved. When you said, yes, here I am, and you were baptized in the waters, or baptized in the Holy Spirit, you were baptized in the blood of the Lamb, and God will use your gifts in the body of Christ so that the world might be transformed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.